Amen. Well, I need it. I need as much blessing as I can get. It's been a challenging day. But the devil's a liar. God's still good to us. He's faithful. And I'm glad to be in the presence of the Lord. I felt such a sweet touch of the Holy Ghost in prayer before service. I was just praying and it just felt good. It just feels good to feel God. Amen. Amen. If you would stand with me. I appreciate Pastor and Sister Crosswhite for giving knuckleheads a little chance. God still loves knuckleheads. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
All right. I got my stopwatch going, so hopefully we won't go over 3 hours. All right. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 4 through 7. If you have it, say amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You may be seated. Simple subject tonight, very simple, but it's what I felt, and so I'm going to do my best to just talk to us about the love of God, the love of God. Galatians and chapter 5 begins to list out the works of the flesh, and it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There's a lot of things that fall in the such like. In fact, I would say the large majority of, well, you show me where the Bible says, could probably fall into such like. If you just go to such like, there it is. That's where the Bible says. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a definite. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now you'll notice in the listing of the works of the flesh that love isn't mentioned. Love is never mentioned in a work of the flesh. That's because the driving element for the flesh is selfishness. True love is selfless. Selfless. Romans 13 and 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So if you're trying to fulfill the law, if you're trying to get all of the Bible lined up in your life, if you're trying to take this whole book and live according to the word of God, you can do it with one word, love. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, when we start talking about carnal realms, fleshly realms, carnality, walking in the flesh, you will find these traits in the flesh. In the world in which we live, in the society in which we live, these things are very prevalent. Being aggressive, being assertive, having self-confidence. You got to make sure nobody takes advantage of you. You got to fight back. You've got to get even. You put yourself first. You don't let anybody else get ahead of you. Don't let anybody cheat you. You make sure that you're first place, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. That's the kind of world that we live in today. It's me first. I'm going to take care of me, and then we'll worry about everybody else later. But in the spiritual realm, humility is key. Consecration is required. Dedication is held close. Prayer and fasting are the weapons of our warfare. We live with such concepts like meekness and wisdom. Jesus said it this way, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Attitude of a servant. The attitude of a servant is the driving element of a life in the spirit. Now, there's different types of love. If we study love, if we study even just love that's mentioned in the Bible, there's several different types of love that are mentioned in the Bible. And those types can be categorized, and there's branches and sub-branches, but we won't get into all of that tonight. So you have, please forgive me if I mispronounce these because they're Greek. And I don't speak Greek normally. So here we go. Storge, which is I told you not to laugh. Storge, which is a family affection. And this is a natural love. It can be found naturally. You have eros, which is a romantic love. It's a natural love. Phileo, which is a friendship or a friendship type affection, natural. But then there is another level of love. Then there's another plane. There's another realm. And this is agape. This is a sacrificial love. This is an unconditional love. And this is the love of God. The love of God. The world's view is that, you know, you have regular love, just a little bit of love, that's fine. But when you start loving to the point where you look weak, that's too far. You can't love in a way that looks weak. The love of God working in us is never weak, but it's the very essence of who God is. 1 John 4:16 says that God is love, not that it is just a sideline attribute of God. Okay? It expresses the very essence of God's nature, and it should be considered along with the statements such as God is light. In 1 John 1 and 5. And God is a spirit, John 4:24. We believe these things. God is a spirit, absolutely. Oh, God is light. He spoke light into existence. He was light before there was light. We believe that. But then God is love. God is love. Everything that he does comes from a place of love. Deep love, not just a topical love, but a depth of love. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us. He focused it on us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that kind of love that was willing to sacrifice, that kind of love that was willing to give everything, to empty of himself for you and I. But dying out sometimes is perceived as weakness or failure. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, there were those that were laughing. There were those that were mocking, because they perceived this as a posture of failure. This is the end, they thought. This is a posture of weakness. If he was talking about saving this one and saving that one, let him come, let him save himself. He doesn't even have power to come down off the cross. That's the kind of words that were coming at Jesus. But he was hanging there not because of weakness, not because of failure. They discounted the strength and the determination of that pure love that kept him on the cross. He could have come down. He could have called 10,000 angels. But he was bringing hope and victory for eternity. So he endured and despised the shame. He endured the cross because of us. That's love. That's real love. I'm thankful for that kind of love. I'm thankful for a God that means business enough that he would walk on this earth. The Bible says that he was a man of sorrows. He didn't have everything just all hunky-dory. But life was a challenge, and he faced it for you and I. And then the culmination of that life was the cross, in which he emptied out himself totally for us. The enemy and the spirit of the world will laugh at the thought of little bitty weak love in the face of an experienced adversary. Have you ever made a decision in life where, you know, it was expected of you to do one thing, but you chose the low road and said, no, that's not how I respond. But man, you can't let them talk to you like that. You can't. No, no, no. That's not how I respond. It's perceived as weakness. But there's a strength in that. And it's greater than what the world has. All the world can do is respond to their fleshly drives. That's all they have. That's all they know. That's all they have to work with. But the children of God have something deeper than that. We have something stronger than that, the love of God. They'll laugh at the thought of that kind of love in the face of an experienced adversary, skilled in pride and fleshly warfare, skilled at smart remarks and getting even, familiar with carnal drives and arrogance. But God is not impressed, and God is not mocked. It kind of draws the picture of a 10-foot ugly giant named Goliath, a man of war, the Bible says, from his youth. And he's mocking and is taunting as that young man David steps confidently onto the battlefield. He doesn't have the weapons that Goliath thinks he needs to have. He doesn't have the weapons of pride and arrogance. He doesn't have all of the warfare armament that Goliath is used to seeing. And so on the battlefield, you hear laughter. You hear bellowing coming out of a foul mouth, cursing and oaths that could be heard in screams as that giant begins to charge. But they were all cut short by a smooth stone. Then there was silence. A smooth stone, probably about that big. Not jagged, wasn't a huge chunk of concrete that fell out of heaven. But it was a smooth stone. Sometimes a soft answer turneth away wrath in different ways. In different ways. Godly love is not weak, it's courageous, it's wise, it's full of mercy, yet confident. It may look simple and almost comical, but it's effective enough to drop big, ugly giants time and time again. The love of God works in ways that humanity can't work. When you start allowing the working of the Spirit to get in, that does, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Pulling down gives you the indication that we're down here. It's a position of lowliness, of humbleness, but we're going to grab hold and pull down. That's the way that this works. So where does love need to show up? We need love in our life. Raise your hand if you need love in your life. Everybody needs love in your life. Everyone. Okay? So where does love need to show up? Well, I'd like to have a few people. No, no. No. In you, in me, where does love need to show up? In us. How about in our conversation? Not being focused on just getting my point across and being heard, but being quick to hear and slow to speak. Taking the time to listen. What about in our demeanor and body language? How you carry yourself is communicating something. In our driving. Woo, help us, Jesus. This is a very quick litmus test for spirituality. When you pull out of church and somebody cuts you off, you! Let's turn around and go right back to the altar. In our giving, we need love in our giving. Not just in tithes and offerings, though that absolutely fits, that absolutely counts, but in our giving to those around us, especially in time. Those we cross paths with, do we have the time to stop and talk? Do we have the time to love them? Do we have the time to reach out, to give? We get so busy that we don't have anything left to give, and we live in survival mode. One place to the other, to the other. And by the time we get there, we barely made it. We barely made it. And sometimes life deals us that, but is that a consistent thing? Are we giving with love? Are we taking time to build relationships? Relationships are not just handing somebody a church card, say, God bless you, love to see you at church, see you next time. Praise the Lord, Apostolic Lighthouse. I can't remember if that's where I go to church or not, but I hope it is, because that's the cards I have in my pocket. So if you would just like to come, it'd be great. But taking time to build a relationship, to talk, to get into a conversation with somebody, and just, it may not even get to, hey, come to church, but it may get to the things of God, concepts, things about the Bible, things that cause them to go home and think about things at night. and turn things over in their mind, and maybe they'll want another conversation, taking that time. In our trials and even persecution, do we complain in all things or give thanks in all things? How do we respond when others mock? You see, there is a love that is more of a natural origin. People naturally form affections, loves for things that matter to them. People love hunting. You know, you can have people love hunting, but that's just a natural affection. That is not an agape. But the love of God is something different altogether. There's a story that Brother Nathaniel Urshan told concerning Bishop G.T. Haywood. Raise your hand if you ever heard that name, G.T. Haywood. Okay, he was early 1900s, a man of prayer, a man of consecration, a man that loved God, a man that believed this truth, that believed in the oneness of God. And there was a meeting in the early 1900s, and it was attended by a lot of different thinkers, a lot of different ways of thought. And they were kind of snickering and laughing because G.T. Haywood was here. And he had been asked to be a part of the meeting. And when he got there, it kind of turned on him and turned on his beliefs. Oh, this is that oneness guy. He believes in the oneness, you know, and all that Holy Ghost stuff, and you got to believe in Jesus' name and all that. And there was one man that was very well known to the group, and he got up and began to mock Bishop Haywood. And instead of lashing out, instead of getting angry, the bishop stood silent for a bit. He looked intently around the room while those that were gathered in that room waited to see how he would respond. Bishop Haywood thought for a second, and then he just began to sing. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And he kept singing. That was not a fleshly response. A fleshly response would have been, let me tell you something. Oh. But he chose to allow the Spirit to have precedent. You cannot find that kind of love of God, that agape, just floating around in the flesh somewhere. You can't find it internally because it's not of the flesh. You don't do just a quick inventory of things in your nature and happen to stumble across a deep sacrificial love that's unconditional. It's just not going to happen. True sacrificial love, agape, is of the Spirit, so it comes from an external source. God is love, and everything good comes from God. But now, if we were able somehow to get that external force and get it on the inside, then we might have something to work with. If we were able to internalize it and hold it dear like a treasure in an earthen vessel. If we were able, as Romans 5:5 says, to let the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. You see, it's not by studying enough. It's not by being good enough, but it comes by the Holy Ghost. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We've got to reach and get that is without and get it on the inside. If we don't pray in the Holy Ghost, if we don't get somewhere and bathe in that source, if we don't get in the flow of the Holy Ghost, then our motives become selfish instead of selfless. We get dirty, we get dry, we get fleshly. We begin to display the works of the flesh instead of the fruit of the Spirit. But getting in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, is more than just talking in tongues. You're not just talking in tongues, because 1 Corinthians, I believe it is 13, talks about if you speak with tongues of men and angels, but you do not have that charity that we read about, that sacrificial love, that agape, if you do not have that driving, then it's just a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. It's just making a noise. It's not doing anything. There's no power involved in that. It takes deeper prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost is deeper than that. If we never tap into the love that God is talking about, then we're not getting to the place that God really desires us to be. And we're not in the place where we can change ourselves, where we can change those around us, where we can allow God to change, I should say, where we can allow God to change those in our city, where we can allow God to work in the workplace, where we're not in that place where we need to be. And so how, if it's not gauged by talking in tongues, what is praying in the Spirit? Well, a good place to start is repentance. A good place to start is a broken and a contrite spirit. In this type of prayer, you'll find these things to be true. Tears are the currency used by heaven. A broken and a contrite heart becomes power with God. Emptying of self is not a loss, but a total gain. Repentance is always right and acceptable. And we have to understand that God is for us. He does answer prayer. And to those that knock, the door will be open. And to those that seek, they will find. When those guards and those walls are dropped, and we allow God is not going to kick through. He's not going to come to us and say, "You listen here. I'm coming in whether you like it or not." He's not going to do that. It takes a willingness. It takes an openness. It takes, yes, God, He gave us free will. And He would like us to use that free will to allow Him to do what He wants to do. When we let down the guards and the walls, then that's a place where God can begin to work. And there's a moving of the Spirit that God begins to draw. And yes, tongues are definitely a part of it. And there's a flow, there's an ebb, there's undertows, there's tides and ebbs, there's things that you begin to feel in it. But it's more than just here. It gets down deep on the inside. And that's where that love begins to abound. Jesus spoke about love that would fulfill all the law and the commandments of God, but it wasn't just natural love. Anybody can just naturally love something or be affectionate towards something. But the love that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 22, 37 through 39, that kind of love is agape. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It is a selfless, unconditional, sacrificial love. This is not a one-time thing. You do not get a certificate at the end of your prayer time. Angel does not step out of heaven and say, here's your certificate. Thank you for praying with us. We'd love for you to come again. But if you don't, you have unconditional love. You have agape. And we're so thankful that you were with us today. That doesn't happen. It's fluid. It's a wrestling sometimes. It's a back and forth. And there's litmus tests all through the Word of God. John talks about a lot that if this is found in you, the love of God's not there. So if you start feeling things and noticing things in your reactions and your responses, time to get back to the prayer room. Woo! Boy, that individual pulled out in front of me. Time to get some love operating again. And it's a day-by-day process. And it's loving to have love. It's wanting to be in his presence. It's getting familiar with getting to that place with God. If we could stand together. It's called sacrificial, unconditional love. It is sacrificial. Sacrificial means takes sacrifice, takes work. It's not easy. And your hair starts standing on the back of your neck. You're like, ah, I got to work for this. I don't know. But can I tell you this? The beauty is we love him because he first loved us. He made the ultimate sacrifice. And so, yes, we've got some hard things that we've got to do. But in comparison, there's really not a comparison. He laid everything out for us, and he just wants us to walk with him in it. There's a song that I heard, and I don't know that I can sing it, but I want to read you at the very least the second verse, I believe it is. Lord, I've seen a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit, groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But when I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes, I pray, Jesus, shine down on me and let your love shine through me in the night. I want his love to shine through me. I want his spirit to be in control. I'm not concerned with the ways of the flesh. They always lead to destruction. But I want the ways of the spirit. I want to be pleasing to God. I wonder if we can lift our hands. I wonder if we could take just a moment and thank him for his love. That unconditional love, that love that reached to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for that. That love, that unconditional love, that reaching of your spirit, God, to us. But not only to us, it's to be through us. God, help us. Help us, Jesus, to get in this love, to get your love in us, that we can reach this world, that we can do your will and fulfill your purpose in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know that song, Lily of the Valley? Could we sing that just for a moment?
Lead me, Lord, I'll follow.
Anywhere you open up the door, let your word speak to me. Show me what I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right.
You can make it right.
Right. Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Follow anywhere you open up the door. Let your word speak to me. Show me things I've never seen before. I want to be a witness.
You can take what's wrong
and make it right.
You can make it right.
Right. Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I've seen a world
that's dying,
wounded by the master of deceit, groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes. Eyes. I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Could you sing it? Follow anywhere you open up the door. Oh, let your word speak to me. Show me things I've never seen before. To be your witness, you can take what's wrong and make it right.
You can make it right.
Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Simple message, but this is one of the most powerful messages that you can find. Because every single one of us are here because of that unconditional love. And our single highest calling in life is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with everything in us, withholding nothing. And then to love our neighbor as ourself. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for the help of your Spirit. God, would you go with us tonight? God, would you continue to talk to us? God, continue to allow your word to help us, to instruct us. And God, lead us to somebody that's hungry. Lead us to somebody that we can show your love to. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to heaven. How? Together. You may be dismissed in Jesus' name.